Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. My name is Ned Dunn, and I am happy to be with you. It is Wednesday, July 10th, the 10th day of the month, and the 192nd day of this leap year. It's National Pina Colada Day and National Kitten Day. And now it's time to go to the Hartford Current and check out today's horoscopes, and maybe it'll help us plan our day. We shall begin with Aries, March 21st through April 19th. What's in your head might not be in line with what's really going on. You could be stressed and telling everybody about everything wrong, but they may not understand you. From their perspective, you likely have it more together than you think you do. You will make it through. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. You may be feeling stubborn about your decisions. Risk you took in the past might be playing on your mind. Other people may be wondering why you're taking the steps you're taking. If someone mentions this to you, take it to heart. Don't let others distract from your path. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. This is the time to put your goals before your immediate desires. Everyone gets distracted sometimes, but it's vital that you see past any recent shiny distractions. Create a consistent reminder of your plans that will stabilize your mind, making it that much easier to avoid life's pitfalls. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. Pessimism might be looming larger than it should. You may notice that you're feeling more on edge, out of nowhere. When you're able to step into your power, you'll be better able to be kind to yourself. Now remember, what-if scenarios don't always have to be negative. They can be positive, too. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. You might be on the receiving end of someone else's emotional tidal wave. They might be going through some intense ebbs and flows. It may be that you're acting as the voice of reason, but simply stating the facts is not the best path forward. Make an effort to be sensitive. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. An authority figure may overreact, making it hard to respond. You might be unable to tell them outright that they're overblowing the situation. Consider trying to distract them or to cheer them up, because this could help them to take their focus away from their stress. And Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. Information that you come across could be inflammatory, but it may not be completely true. Keep in mind that the pieces of the story you see need more context before you consider analyzing the whole story. Make sure you're not letting your imagination fill in the gaps. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. You do not have to isolate yourself. A group of acquaintances or coworkers may have led you to feel like an outsider. While continuing your efforts to get to know them could feel awkward, it's likely to get you further than avoiding them will. It's better to stay than to run away. Stay a while. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. There's a fine line between leading and controlling. It's easy to see your way as the only right way at this time. This can embolden you to steamroll other people. Heartfelt and intentional communication should allow you to understand each other's point of view. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. Concealed enemies might be teaching you the wrong way to go. These shadowy antagonists may be intentionally thwarting you. No matter what their motivation is, it's important to remember that those who know you best should encourage you to do what you love. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. You might be taking less of a risk than you think you are. Of course, it's okay to be intimidated by doing something unfamiliar, but you should not let that stop you from trying. You've got more to offer than you know. Take a deep breath and own your unique energy. And finally, Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. Emotional tension can make it challenging to know how you feel. You might be going through a lot of complex feelings, but remember, this storm won't last forever. No matter how hard things are, know you are capable of resolving whatever struggles you are going through. And those, my friends, are the horoscopes for Wednesday, July 10th. Now, let's take a look at our late-night television choices. On ABC, Jimmy Kimmel. The guests are Seth Rogen, Joe Locke, Cigarettes After Sex, and the guest host tonight is Katherine Hahn. Over on NBC, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The guests are Fabian Frankel, Ewan Mitchell, Keith Robinson, and Common and Pete Rock featuring Pasnios and Bilal. I apologize if I mispronounce P-O-S-D-N-U-O-S. On CBS, Stephen Colbert, Stephen's guest star, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and Martha Stewart. Later on NBC, Seth Meyers. His guests are Whoopi Goldberg and Kate Schellenbach. Later on CBS, after midnight, the guests are Chrissy Teigen, Adam Pally, and Sandy Honig. On Bravo, Watch What Happens Live, Andy's guest star, Rashida Jones, and Joey King. And finally, on Comedy Central, The Daily Show, the guests are Elizabeth Dias and Lisa Lehrer, and the hosts tonight are Jordan Klepper and Desi Leidick. And those are late-night television choices. And now it's time to take a look at today's almanac. On this day in history, in 1509, John Calvin, a key figure of the Protestant Reformation, was born in Noyon, Picardy, France. In 1850, Millard Fillmore was sworn in as president after the death of President Zachary Taylor on July 9th. In 1890, Wyoming was admitted as the 44th state. 1929, American paper currency was reduced in size as the government began issuing bills that were 25% smaller. In 1962, the first active communication satellite, Telstar 1, was launched by NASA. In 1991, Boris Yeltsin took the oath of office as the first elected president of the Russian Republic. Also in 1991, President George H.W. Bush lifted economic sanctions against South Africa. In 2002, the House approved 310 to 113, a measure to allow airline pilots to carry guns in the cockpit. In 2012, the Episcopal Church of the United States allowed same-sex marriage. In 2015, South Carolina pulled the Confederate flag from its place of honor at the State House. And finally, in 2019, the last VW Beetle rolled off the assembly line in Puebla, Mexico, and that last one went straight to a museum. And now, births on this date. Adolphus Busch was born in 1839, and he co-founded the brewing company Anheuser-Busch. In 1921, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, one of the Kennedy children, she co-founded the Special Olympics. 1943, the tennis player, journalist, and humanitarian Arthur Ashe was born. Arlo Guthrie of Alice's Restaurant fame is 77 years old today. Mavis Staples of the Staples Singers is 85. Bella Fleck, the musician, is 66. The actress Sofia Vergara is 52. The actor Adrian Grenier is 48 years old. And Jessica Simpson, the singer, actress, and entrepreneur, is 44 years old today. Happy birthday to them and anyone else celebrating a birthday. And from today's Hartford Current, the Ask Eric Advice column. Headline today, ex-pal uneasy with relationship, can't shake guilt over ghosting. Dear Eric, I ghosted a friend. The friendship made me uncomfortable. I thought he had romantic feelings for me, or maybe he just wanted more than the relationship than I did. Since I had moved to a different city, I became slow to respond to texts, calls, and basically stopped. Then the pandemic hit, and he reached out to see if I was okay, and still I did not respond. This was cruel. I think about it regularly and have spent therapy dollars talking about it, and still I have done nothing. I hurt someone who cared about me, and I want to apologize, but I do not want to open the doors to a relationship. Can you help? Signed, Disappearing Friend. Dear friend, you may have ghosted, but you are the one being haunted. The way to exercise your guilt is to own up to your part and see if there's a way to make amends. That being said, it's important to listen to your initial discomfort. You're not obligated to put yourself in a position that could harm you as recompense for an unkind act. So proceed with caution. Make a script with your therapist and figure out what your goals are. You don't want to reestablish a connection. You just want to clear the air. Consider a letter instead of a phone call or text. I think you're holding yourself to a stricter standard than you need to and causing yourself misery. Friendships ebb and flow all the time. Sometimes the hardest part is acknowledging that a connection has changed or doesn't feel right anymore. I asked Anna Goldfarb, author of Modern Friendship, How to Nurture Our Most Valued Connections, and the Substack newsletter Friendship Explained, for a helpful script. I like the gracious, direct, and warm method when declining invitation, she said. Thank you for reaching out, Becky. Gracious, but I'm not available to get together for lunch this week. Direct. Have a great day. Warm. Repeat as necessary. By the way, when talking about your situation with Anna, she had a different read than I did. Studies show social rejection hurts as much as physical pain. So you feel like you've harmed him and are racked with guilt, she said. But I'm not convinced an apology isn't order. we are not morally obligated to respond to sporadic, unsolicited messages from acquaintances who live in other cities. That's the risk this friend took in texting you out of the blue. You may not respond. Them's the breaks. Focus on your well-being. Sometimes we don't get it right when communicating with others. We can apologize and try to do better. But you don't have to torture yourself with what you imagine is your former friend's emotional state. And our next letter today, dear Eric, I have a friend who lives in Parking Challenge, Los Angeles, and uses a handicap parking sticker for convenience. He was initially issued this permit more than 10 years ago when he had hip replacement surgery. The permit is automatically reissued to him without the necessary approving its continued need. He hasn't done anything to dispel this. But I find this distasteful and makes me think less of him. I am a physician, and in my state of Illinois, issuing handicap permits is highly regulated. Should I confront him? Signed, Sticker Shock. Dear Sticker, you should speak up for the sake of your friendship. This is going to keep festering. You may be wondering if there are other areas where you and your friend where you and your friend see morality differently and what that might mean. This does not have to sever your friendship, but keeping your thoughts inside will only magnify them. Your friend may have a reason for continuing to need the permit, which you may not know about. He's not required to disclose his medical status to you, but be open to the possibility that that's not just for pure convenience. None of us should ever judge someone for using a handicap permit just because they don't look disabled. However, if it is for convenience, he may see this as a victimless offense, which isn't technically true. If he's in the last handicap designated space, where does a person with mobility issues park? You don't have to get into a political debate with your friend. Some might argue that all this is the city of Los Angeles's fault for not properly regulating their parking stickers. That's neither here nor there in your friendship. We owe it to our friends and to society to call them on it when we see them doing something that might be harmful to themselves or others. And that is Asking Eric for today. And from the living section of today's Hartford Current, the ex etiquette column. Headline today, is your ex a narcissist? Probably not, but here's how you can co-parent. Today's question. My co-parent is a lost cause. They are a narcissist. I looked it up on the internet and they check all the boxes. They think they are perfect, always right, and try to manipulate me and the kids to get their own way. They act like they care, but they obviously don't. They can't be a good influence. What's good ex etiquette? And here is the answer. I can't tell you how many of my clients tell me their co-parent is a narcissist. It seems to be the current buzzword to explain an ex's manipulative, grandiose, conceited behavior. But just about everyone's ex is difficult at the time of the breakup. Your ex probably feels the same way about you. Because you find a former partner unpredictable, angry, manipulative, and only seeing their point of view is not enough to pin a narcissistic diagnosis on them. Truth be told, according to recent studies, only 1% or 2% of the U.S. population actually falls into that category. It's more likely that they are manifesting narcissistic tendencies, And unfortunately, quite a few of our exes seem to fall into that category. The good news, if that is the case, is that when the breakup dust settles? Both of you may calm down and settle into a cohesive co-parenting partnership. Co-parenting counseling will help. If your children's other parent is truly a narcissist, you may have to adopt what is called parallel parenting. Now, parallel parenting is where each parent has their own parenting approach and responsibilities when their children are with them. You can imagine how difficult this is on children. Although parallel parenting is adopted to prevent the children from witnessing ongoing conflict, they still know what's going on, and it weighs heavily on their shoulders. Ultimately, what is best for your children is to put your own issues aside and come together in their name. Until that becomes a possibility, it's all in the approach by doing the following. Be clear about your parenting expectations. A narcissist will push the limits you set. Limit communication to only what is necessary. Avoid emotional arguments. Don't let conversations spiral. Document everything. Using a co-parenting app may be helpful. Never badmouth a co-parent. And finally, parent with empathy. Be the bigger person for your kids. Still with the current living section, headline, I like seeing the smiles. Their baby cousin with cancer inspires sisters to sew hospital gowns for sick children in the U.S. and Africa. Fighting brain cancer, little Giada Demma was lying in her pediatric hospital bed, her tiny body virtually swimming in a drab green hospital gown. Her cousin Juliana Demma remembers looking at the one-year-old and thinking how sad the scene was, a small child awash in an ugly gown several sizes too big for her. I thought to myself, why does she have to wear this? Why can't she wear something nicer? Juliana said. Inspired by the moment, Juliana Demma, 13, and her sister Audrina, 11, have sewn and donated more than 1,800 brightly colored, playfully patterned gowns to hospital children in 36 states. They've even sent them to Uganda, with three other African nations set to get them in the fall. I wanted to do something to help kids like Giada and give them hospital gowns that have nice patterns, that are colorful, that they can feel comfortable in while they're going through a rough time, Juliana said. Their family hired a seamstress to make a custom Disney princess gown for little Giada, who was hospitalized in 2017 and is doing well now. But as Juliana grew over the next 4 or 5 years, she developed an interest in sewing and remembered how lost her little cousin looked in a drab, ill-fitting gown years earlier. Once Juliana learned to sew, her cousin was no longer hospitalized, but she started making cheerful gowns for other sick kids. Her first creations were gowns with flamingos and Paris-themed patterns for a child with cancer that her aunt knew. No child is ever charged for one of her gowns, which are paid for by donations of money and material. The Starbucks Foundation gave the project a $3,000 grant this year. A hospital linen company, Image First in Clifton, New Jersey, cleans all the garments for free before they are sent to hospitals. And a woman's group at a nearby housing development and a church youth group help out with about 40 volunteers cutting fabric for the girls. Juliana gets help from her sister, who also loves sewing. Audrina will pitch in when Juliana has homework to do, heading to the basement of their home in Freehold, New Jersey, not far from the Jersey Shore, that has been taken over by the sewing operation. Audrina's specialty is sewing small pillows for young patients. They are sent with boxes of markers so the recipients can color them as they like when they're in the hospital. Audrina made 100 pillows as part of an effort to earn her Girl Scout Bronze Award, packaging them and sending them off to hospitals. She makes seasonally themed pillows for St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, and other special times. Last winter, she made 100 snowman pillows. They are often part of packages the girls create that include rubber duckies and other toys. And a local pediatric cancer charity, Live Like a Unicorn, LIV, includes them in boxes they send to children battling cancer. The Minnesota charity Children's Surgery International took 60 of the gowns to hospitals in Uganda in February, with more headed to Gambia, Liberia, and Ethiopia in the fall. And from USA Today Life section, the music column, When I'm 84, Ringo Starr Feels the Love. What do you give Ringo Starr on his 84th birthday? Global peace and love, naturally. And the former Beatles drummer threw both vibes right back into the universe at Sunday's Ringo's annual Peace and Love birthday celebration in Beverly Hills. More than 300 fans and friends braved the Southern California heat wave for the midday event next to the 800-pound metal peace symbol statue Star designed and gave to the city in 2019. Similar peace and love celebrations took place around the country, including at Wisconsin's Lambeau Field and in 35 international locations from Russia to Japan. We started doing this celebration with about 50 people in 2008, and now we've got people waving and smiling at me from all over, Starr said from the stage. All I can do is say peace and love. He continued, I'm truly grateful that you all turned up today. Otherwise, I'd have been very lonely. But Starr is hardly ever lonely. The former Beatle arrived at his birthday celebration with his wife of 43 years, Barbara Bach, and his brother-in-law, Joe Walsh. The Eagles legend, guitarist and songwriter, is married to Marjorie Bach. Songwriter Diane Warren, musicians Ben Harper, Stephen Stills, Duff McKagan, and producer Don Waz, along with more of Starr's friends, were waiting in the garden seats for the birthday boy's prompt arrival. Looking spry in a white denim jacket, black Adidas track pants, and sunglasses, Starr told USA Today he started his birthday morning with a special breakfast, which consisted of almond croissants. He left room for cake, though. I feel as fit as a fiddle and I'm doing well, the octogenarian said, adding that the annual celebration is meant to spread good feelings around the globe. At noon local time, participants at each location thought, felt, and said, peace and love. There's obviously still strife and conflict in the world since Starr started his peace-focused celebration in Chicago on his 2008 birthday, but it takes time, he said. I can only promote peace and love, Starr added, and it's getting better. So, if we get one more person today from last year thinking this way, then we're building up. Yes, and we're getting a lot more than one. From the celebrity column, an upcoming thriller about a female judge in the contemporary rural South will have two very famous and very different authors, Oscar winner Viola Davis and mega-selling novelist James Patterson. Little Brown & Company announced Tuesday that Davis and Patterson are collaborating on a novel, currently untitled and scheduled for 2025 or 2026, in which the dynamic and brilliant Judge Mary Stone faces a decision with seismic repercussions for her small county and potentially the whole nation. It will be the first work of adult fiction for Davis, whose previous books include the memoir Finding Me and the picture story Corduroy Takes a Bow. It's the latest high-profile partnership for Patterson, whose previous co-authors range from Bill Clinton to Dolly Parton. James's ability to weave compelling narratives with depth and suspense is unparalleled, and I am honored to work alongside him, Davis said in a statement. Writing about a character as compelling as Judge Mary Stone has been an extraordinary experience, and I believe readers will be deeply moved by the journey. Well, my friends, that's all the time we have for Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. I hope you have a great day and an even better tomorrow.